Father, would you care for us now as you have been? Holy Spirit, speak to us, give us clarity, give us truth, give us hope, confident assurance, Lord God, in what you have accomplished, Jesus, for us. All of this, Lord God, is for your glory, for our joy. Strengthen us, encourage us, deepen our faith, our abiding in you today and the days to come. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning. I don't think it's just the rain. I feel like I could sit and do this message from a place of resting. You know that that's not true because I'm going to run a path here, but that's like the emotion or just kind of where I am in all of this, praying through this week and hearing these scriptures and then knowing us. Knowing you, the things that we're carrying this week, and there's a lot. So I am praying two things, clarity, and I'm praying strength and encouragement for us today. I love that we sang this, for we trust in our God, and through his unfailing love, we're not going to be shaken. Okay, and then when we are, you know what we're going to do? We're going to care for each other and hold each other up. That's the church. That's the body of Christ. I believe that one of the most powerful ministry opportunities that we have, this is not just pastoral, but that we share, is in regards to caring for people at the end of their life. Funerals, things like that, where the power of the gospel goes forth and breaks into circumstances of sorrow and loss. But even in the midst of that, and you know this, there's oftentimes all sorts of confusion. Like, what is this thing called death? And what is eternity? Good night. What is eternal life? Right? There's all sorts of confusion about that. And even though, and I won't make an assumption here, even though many of you maybe were raised in the church, maybe you were good Sunday school kids. I don't know. This is not a bragging flag because I'm just as confused as everyone else. But I was one of those kids that never missed Sunday school. Like I remember the stars, some of you old school folks, okay? I was awesome, okay? But not because of me, it was because of my mom. And my mom will probably listen to this sermon, so hi, Mom. But I had all the stars. I never missed Sunday school. We missed once, and that was in 1979 because there was a flood in Grand Forks, and the Red Lake River and the Red River, Grand Forks, get it? There's some education for you, rose and surrounded our home. We were on an island, and we couldn't get off. And so in my mom's mind, that's a good excuse to miss church. Okay, or take a boat. So let's just keep that in mind about why you might miss church. Okay. Anyway, that was 1979. In 1978, and I'm not going to say amazing because it wasn't necessarily amazing, but some of the things that I knew, even though I was a Sunday school kid, came from pop culture and movies. Had a powerful influence on my thinking or framing of death and eternity. And so if you would consider where your influences have come from, like why do you believe what you believe in regards to death and eternal life and resurrection, where does that come from? And we would like to make statements like, well, it comes from the Bible, right? I got that thing down. I seriously question that sometimes. I think Hollywood and the world has a powerful influence on us. So in 1978, this movie came out with Warren Beatty. Okay, giggles. That was great. Okay. I'm a growing up kid in the late 60s and 70s. And this movie came out, and true confessions, I loved it. Okay? So Warren Beatty is the quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams, and he is taken prematurely by his guardian angel who makes a mistake. Imagine that. And he rescues him, takes him out of his body, takes him to heaven, but he's got more time left on his punch card, apparently. And he can't return back to his body because his body's been like done for too long or something, okay? And so they send him back into this other body, and he becomes this multimillionaire, and it's a romance and all of that, and he gets back with the football and all of that. Heaven can wait. I'm not ready yet, okay? Let's just put that off. In light of that mindset, there are many people who look at eternity, whatever that looks like, this idea of heaven, with this notion of, I'm not ready yet, okay? Or, I'm not sure I really want to go, okay? I mean, I don't want to go to the other place, but do I want to go to this place? Because frankly, it sounds boring, right? Is it an eternal church service? Like, are we just sitting in here forever? Is that what it's going to look like? And so many people, and we chuckle at that, but truly, I hear a lot of people going, I'm not sure. What, am I just going to be bored? What's going to happen in that time? How about this one? Remember this one? Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore? Okay. Yeah, the girls are all like, Patrick Swayze, woo. Okay. Patrick Swayze dies. He's actually killed in this film by his business partner. And he is in a place where he doesn't have peace. And so he just roams around on earth as a ghost and wants to reconcile with his wife, Demi Moore. And so he speaks to and I don't even know what this looks like, but communicates with a psychic, Whoopi Goldberg, okay? And some of you are going, obviously. Typecasting. Anyway, that was not nice. I take that back. Anyway, it's a romance with a guy who's dead, okay? Now, all of that might sound super silly to you, but the reality is that much of this has shaped our thinking about eternity, death. Are there ghosts? Do we just wander until we rest in peace? What is going on? And then how about this? We'll finish up with this idea. Maria Shriver, former wife to Arnold Schwarzenegger, wrote this book. It's a children's book. Okay, and she writes, I'm quoting, "Heaven is somewhere you believe in. It is a beautiful place where you can sit on soft clouds and talk to other people who are there. At night, you can sit next to the stars, which are the brightest of anywhere in the universe. If you're good throughout your life," yeah, collective groan. "If you are good throughout your life, then you can go to heaven. When your life here on earth is finished, God sends angels down to take you up to heaven to be with him." Now, hear this. I'm done with mockery, okay? Let's not mock anyone. I don't want to mock Hollywood. and I don't want to mock Maria Shriver, okay? Because frankly speaking, humanity is confused until we find truth in the Word of God and the promises of Jesus. We're all confused, okay? So let's have a little grace with the people in our lives, the people that surround us, maybe the people who are next to us. Let's love well and point people to the truth of God's Word, where we have a sure foundation. Up until the late 1800s, this word, this Latin word phrase, resurgam, was almost on every tombstone. The Latin translation is, I shall arise. The sure foundation of people's belief was that this body will rise again. The power of a physical resurrection points to the victory that we have in Jesus and what he has accomplished for us. In 1 Corinthians 15, which is the Apostle Paul, known as this chapter, chapter 15, as the resurrection chapter in Scripture. There's a lot of other scriptures on resurrection, but this is the ooh-ah of resurrection. The Apostle Paul says, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Death, I'm going to say this a bunch of times, death is not our friend. Death is not, we're not just in the Lion King, all right? The circle of life. It is the natural circle of life. No, it's not. The Apostle Paul says that death is the final enemy, and that enemy must be conquered. And that's what Jesus gives us in the victory, where we can know for certain that Jesus' physical, bodily resurrection is given to us as well, that you will arise. You will have new life in a beautiful, glorified, resurrected body, as Revelation 21 says, where there is no more pain and no more suffering and no more cancer and no more tumors, no more heart disease, none of that, right? And so we trust that. That these bodies will be resurrected and they are a gift from God. And we dismiss that too often. You are a soul, people, young people and old people. You are a soul, mind and body and spirit intertwined. There is this heresy that the Apostle Paul is speaking into in Corinth called Gnosticism. With this idea of the separation of the physical body with the spirit. And so the idea was, is that your body is bad. So you can do whatever you want with your body, but your spirit is good. And so at death, your spirit will leave your body and your body will just decay and be done with. So who cares about the body? So in this life now, eat, drink, and be merry. You can do whatever you want with the body because it's bad anyway. And that's not biblical. That's not God's gift to you. He has given you your body. He has given you your mind. He's given you your spirit, and they are intertwined, and they are a soul. That's who you are. Though in the meantime, these bodies fail us. Death will come and we will decay, but we are given the power of the resurrection in Jesus and what he has accomplished for us. Every time we have communion, we speak these words of the Apostles' Creed. I would like them to be fresh and anew for us all the time. I believe in the resurrection of the body, that your body will arise. And your loved ones who have gone before you, This is not, I say this at funerals, this is not some sort of spiritual psychological massage so that we feel better about death. These people that have gone before us, our loved ones, you will see again. Trusting in Jesus, faith in Jesus, a resurrected life, you will see them again. And they will see you again in a resurrected life that Jesus has won for us. I believe in the resurrection of the body. We're not on clouds. We're not strumming harps in some eternal church service. You will have a life. That's biblical teaching on the new heaven and the new earth. And that's a couple weeks down the road, but we're going to unpack that, okay? N.T. Wright, theologian, pastor, writer, says this about the current state. Frankly, what we have at the moment isn't, as the old liturgies used to say, the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the dead, but the vague and fuzzy optimism that somehow things may work out in the end. I believe that God wants you to have sure, confident assurance. And that's hope, by the way. Not wishful thinking, but biblical hope is confident assurance, not fuzzy vague, but the confident assurance of what God says and what he has accomplished in Jesus through the cross and the power of the resurrection. Everything that is written by the Apostle Paul in this event, of this event, is seen as historical fact that Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead. But losing the resurrection, that will warp our view of death. It will confuse us about what's going on. We need to see death as an enemy. We need to see death as not part of, and I know, okay, so with you, not part of the plan of God. And we say, yeah, but isn't he omniscient? I know. Though he knew, the plan was that you would not die, that his creation would not decay. Okay? So when we look back at Eden, pre-sin, before the fall, that is the picture of the beauty of the mind of God for his creation. Of you, of humanity, the beauty of his creation that he gave to Adam and Eve and to humanity to care for, to be good stewards of. That's the plan of God. And now, in the meantime, we live in the resurrected life won for us by Jesus in a broken world, looking forward to the restoration of all things. That's the plan of God. Death is not our friend. The second thing is it warps our view of eternity. What is this? What's it going to look like? And there's a flood of questions that we have, right? But here's what we do know. He speaks of the new heavens and the new earth, a life in relationship with each other and a life in relationship with God, just as he intended in the garden with Adam and Eve. This beautiful picture of relationship, of peace, of joy, right? You're not bored. We're not going to be bored. And we're going to be in the presence of God, which will blow our minds all the time. It's going to be so sweet. So we long for that and we look forward to that. And when confusion comes in, we push that aside and we confirm truth of the power of God's word. In our reading for today, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, and I'm going to invite you to participate in this. Wherever there are bolded words, I want you to read that with me, okay? I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. That is the gospel. In a paragraph, that's the gospel. just as Scripture says, Christ was crucified, he died, and he rose again. Gospel. That's the power of God to bring resurrection life into our broken lives. He goes on, but tell me this, this is all me. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. So this is Gnosticism. This is where you get ideas of floating ghosts and clouds and all of that, where we just kind of float around, all right? Because Gnosticism says that there is no resurrection of the physical body. This is bad and will decay and will stay gone. That's not what Scripture says. You will have a resurrected body. And so we're speaking into that, and there's hope in that. He goes on, and if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless, and we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. Some translations say that he is the first fruits. He is resurrected so that he is the picture of our lives as well. That he was resurrected in a physical body, that for 40 days following the resurrection, he appeared to his disciples. The Apostle Paul says that at one time he appeared to over 500 at one time. In the upper room, in our gospel reading for today, he shows up when Thomas is not there. Remember that. Side note, the word is Didymus, means twin. That was his nickname. But unfortunately, we have said he is doubting Thomas. Some of you know that I dislike that, okay? What do I call him? Oh, I love you guys. Clarifying Thomas, right? Because isn't he a picture of the rest of us? Don't you want that? When we are confused, we go, God, I need some clarification here. Jesus, would you just clarify for me? Because I'm confused. I don't get it. Help me to understand. That's Thomas. He's not just doubting. He wants some clarification. I'm not going to believe until I see him. I want to see him. I want to touch him. Okay? Give me that experience. And 8 days later, he gets it. He has an experience with the risen Christ. Did you notice how Jesus entered the room? He was a ghost, right? No. Okay. So amazing. I love this. Let's just be in wonder that though the door was locked shut, he appeared to them. And so he's in the room, but then he says to Thomas, put your hands here. Okay. You can physically touch me. And then they ate food together. And the text says that he ate with them to prove to them that he was not a ghost, right? And then later on, one of my favorite scenes in John's gospel is where he makes them breakfast on the beach, right? And there's toast and there's grilled fish. I love that. Jesus physically ate with them to prove that he had a physical body. Now, he is the first fruits of what is to come. And we are the followers of that. So you live in resurrection power right now. You have that right now. And that gift is for us right now. Last few weeks, I've had some hard conversations about this. And there was some clarification that I feel like the Holy Spirit just gave to me and some others in regards to this. Real hope of resurrection fuels how we live right now. There are many of us who have lived in this idea that we don't want the world to corrupt us, right? Have you ever, you wanted that? If you've had children, you don't want your kids corrupted, or you don't want your friends corrupted. And it's actually biblical. Also, in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, don't be foolish, for bad company corrupts good moral character. Okay, so we get that. So have good friends, surround yourself with the right people, all of that. But lately I've been hearing, I just want to distance myself from those people because I don't want to be influenced by them. Let's flip that. Can we please? Like, what if you're the influencer? What if you are the game changer in somebody else's life that they presently do not have hope, and you are the hope of the resurrection walking with them every single day? And you get to point them to the love of God so that you would be the good moral character. You would be the one pointing to Jesus. Even in the midst of your brokenness, even in the midst of your own doubt and fear, you would say, my salvation is secure in Jesus. I'm living the resurrected life of hope now, and that is offered to you as well. He's actually for you, not against you. What if we were the ones in the ripple effect that the power of the resurrection going out from his church would change lives every day? So church, let's not hold up, okay? Let's not just surround ourselves and hide out. Let's be the church to the world, living the resurrected life now because it matters now for the sake of those who have no hope right now. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would stir in us passion, a deep hunger and desire to live the power of the resurrection every day that you have given to us now. Eternity is ours now, with you now. And though these bodies and these minds, these lives are tainted with sin, and though we struggle, God, you have given us the confident assurance of the power of the resurrection. And so, God, we ask in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit that every life in this room would live in that regard, to see others' lives resurrected, trusting in you, Jesus, and all that you have done, all that you have accomplished, Lord God, that we would not diminish what we have now. And so God, stir us up. Give us courage. Help us to be obedient to you. Give us strength so that you would receive all glory, God. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.